I was very fortunate, I think, in my experience in research nursing to have been at the Operations Center for NSABP in the clinical coordinating section at the time that the ideas of moving Herceptin from the setting of metastatic breast cancer into the adjuvant setting first started to take place. And I think for those who were involved in the discussions at that time, we would all recall that there was a feeling of great importance in moving this drug into the adjuvant setting, but also a feeling of needing to be very cautious and careful and responsible about the possible cardiotoxicity. These patients are patients who, although they had HER2-positive breast cancer, all had at least one axillary lymph node that was determined to be positive. They still were considered to be disease-free at the time they would have been considered for the trial. So there was a lot of caution and care to decide what type of monitoring there should be for the cardiotoxicity. Are we ready to move the drug into the adjuvant setting? And there were a lot of discussions involving physicians from NCI and those from Genentech and others. Other consultants who were considered to be experts in cardiotoxicity were all consulted to make important decisions about how cardiotoxicity should be monitored, trying to decide what's the best way to measure the left ventricular ejection fraction. Should it be by echocardiogram or should it be by MAGA scan? Should we try to control which method was used? How many should be done? What should the timing be in reference to their anthracyclines? On B31, the patients were all going to be getting 4 cycles of AC, so we were following a known cardiotoxic drug with what was also known to have cardiac implications. So there were a lot of careful discussions and some hard decisions in the aspect of cardiotoxicity. It was decided that MUGAs should be done. Perhaps they would be less variable. A lot of thought went into the instructions that we incorporated into the protocol to encourage investigators to schedule patients at the same locations to have their MUGA scans and to try to perform those MUGA scans at the time points as close as possible to the time points that had been designated in the protocol. It was also a long discussion with regulatory agencies, the FDA and NCI, and other experts to try to determine what the rules should be for allowing a patient on the trial and for allowing a patient following 4 cycles of doxorubicin and cyclophosphamide to who should be allowed to go on to receive Herceptin based on their LVEF. So there were important rules about administration and continuation of Herceptin for the patients who were randomized to receive it.
I know eventually the trial did finally get started around 2000 or 2001. What was the reaction of the patients and the physicians to the study in the first couple of years?
Well, I think the reactions were positive for the most part, but the same as what I've just described about the sense of responsibility about using caution with the agent to be sure that this was a safe choice for patients and certainly doing careful screening of their cardiac history and explaining the risks and benefits of the trial. So as always with the new study, there's a lot of orientation to the protocol and identifying what the best ways are to introduce the study to patients. In addition to looking at cardiotoxicity issues on B31, we wanted to be sure that assessing the patient's HER2 status, that was being handled in a consistent manner. The testing for the HER2 amplification and overexpression of HER2 was not as commonly done then as it is now, and different pathologists used different techniques, and there was a lot of concern that we be sure that the patients who were going on the trial truly did have HER2-positive breast cancer. So a lot of the questions and answers from our investigators and a lot of the procedural setup to get going on accrual to the trial had to do with working out ways to handle HER2 testing. NSABP made the decision to require, if there were two methods being used, amplification by FISH or overexpression of HER2 protein tested by IHC. And the decision was made that if IHC testing was being done, that it had to be performed at laboratories that did high volume. So that was also part of the decisions that NSABP made to use some caution going into the trial. So So I would say the first 2 years, there were, you know, a lot of planning, a lot of discussions about the best way to do that.